Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast with Pastor Lawson Perdue.
The most important question you're going to ever answer in life is, who is Jesus Christ? And Jesus actually asked this question in Matthew chapter 16. He said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say Isaiah, some say Jeremiah, some say one of the prophets. And then Jesus rephrased it and he said, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, I say that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And on this rock, the rock of the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Praise God, hell may attack, but what he's saying is, listen, they're not going to prevail. Praise God, we win in Jesus' name. For every attack, there is an answer. And we have authority when we understand who Jesus is and who we are in Christ. Amen? So we began to talk last week, and we said the first promise of a redeemer and redemption in the scripture is Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And it says, the seed of a woman will crush the serpent's head, and the serpent will bruise his heel. That's the first prophecy of a redeemer, talking about the seed of woman. We talked about how that's reiterated in the Old Testament. Then we went in the New Testament and said, Jesus is the seed of woman. In that he's the seed of woman, he is the Son of God. Today we're going to talk about that Jesus is the seed of Abraham. And so if you'll open your Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. This is verse 1 through verse 3 of Genesis 12. This is the first time the scripture begins to talk about Jesus being the seed of Abraham. Abraham lived about 2,000 years before Christ. And so, you know, about 4,000 years before Christ, we received this promise, the seed of woman. And then 2,000 years before Christ, the seed of Abraham. And when he was 75 years old, in chapter 12, verse 1, the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your kindred, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. One reason that God blesses us is to make us a blessing. He said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your name great, and you're going to be a blessing. Praise God. And he says, I will bless all those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, when he said, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed, when we go to the book of Galatians chapter 3, Paul talks about that and said that God preached the gospel to Abraham when he said, in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So you don't have to get to the New Testament to find the gospel. You don't have to get to the New Testament to find the grace of God. God preached grace to Abraham and said, I'm going to bless the nations of the world through you. Praise God. Now, this is the promise that God made to Abraham concerning his seed. And Abraham lived in a time of promise. He reiterates that promise. This is when Abraham was 75 years old. In Genesis 15, Abraham was about 85 years old. So about 10 years later, it says in verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision and said, fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. So not only will the Lord bless you, but the Lord will protect you. A lot of the world spends all this time trying to gather up, but then they live in such fear. But God said, I will bless you and I'll protect you. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me you have given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that will come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you be able to number them. And he said, so shall your seed be. In other words, God was trying to get a picture on the inside of Abram to change his life. And if you don't like what you're experiencing in life, if you can change the picture on the inside, you can change the picture on the outside. Since I have been 14 years old and God filled me with the Holy Ghost, God has been changing the picture on the inside of me. And the picture on the inside of me keeps growing. And did you know what? The picture on the outside will come and conform to the picture on the outside. So if you don't like what you're receiving in life, you change the picture. You change what you're believing. Change what you're seeing. Change what you're believing. Change what you're speaking. And you'll change what you're receiving. Scientists thought at one time they could number the stars, and then they got a bigger telescope and they found out the stars are innumerable. You can't count them, because the bigger telescopes they get, the more, not only they discover more stars, they discover more galaxies. Praise God. He said, this is your seed. They're going to be innumerable. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted or imputed to him for righteousness. And so, you know, first of all, God gave him a promise, and then God said, I want you to get the picture of promise on the inside of you. Now, when we go to Genesis 17, Abram's 99 years old. And when Abram was 99 years old, verse 1, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am the Almighty God. I am the many-breasted God. I am El Shaddai. I am the God who's more than enough, the all-sufficient God. Walk before me and be perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Now, notice what he says. He says, I will make my covenant between me and you. God always comes first, because the covenant's not really about you. The covenant's about him. And so he says, first of all, I want you to understand who I am, and you begin to understand who God is. He's the Almighty God. He's the many-breasted God. He's the all-sufficient God. He's the God who's more than enough. He has so much sufficiency, you don't have room enough to receive what he has to give. And then he says, you begin to understand that, and he says, come into a relationship with me. And he says, I'll make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. So when you begin to understand who God is, and then you come into a relationship with him, then you'll begin to experience who God is in your life. Right? Your life will just be an overflow of your relationship with him. And people, it's his nature flowing through you, and you begin to see that. Now, then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. So God said, this is what you're going to be. In other words, a change of identity is necessary for a change of destiny. So if you want to change where you're going, you got to change what you're thinking. And so God says, we're going to change your name from Abram, fatherly, to Abraham. Abram in relationship with Jehovah. For a father have many, many nations have I made you. Your name will be no more be called Abram, but your name will be Abraham, for father of many nations have I made you. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. And I will establish, listen to this, I will establish my covenant with you. God establishes covenant. You're not the one who established, God establishes covenant. What's that mean? The covenant's not about you. The covenant's about him. The covenant's not about your idea. The covenant's about his idea. The covenant's not about your performance. It's about his performance. You come and line up with that. See, two types of covenants, right? You got bilateral covenants. You got unilateral covenants. God's covenant is a unilateral covenant. He is the king of the kingdom. And guess what? In his kingdom, what the king says goes. So he says, you come into relationship with me and you begin to line up with who I am and who I say who you are. And then the things in your life will begin to line up with who I am and who I say you are. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you. This is what I really want. I want to be your God. And I want to be your children's God. And I will give to you and your seed after you the land wherein you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. So he says, this is my promise to you, and this is my promise to your seed. I want you to get a picture of it, and it's through my covenant that it's going to work. So this is about 2,000 years BC, and then all through history, right, of Israel, and then in the history of the church, we begin to talk about the seed of Abraham. So this is about 2,000 BC. Then if we go to Psalm 105, let's go to Psalm 105, and we'll read verse 6 through verse 10. Then that covenant is being remembered. So the covenant was given, or the promise was given, and then the promise is remembered. Psalm 105, verse 6. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, you children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Now, a Bible generation is about 70 years. There are 60 generations between Adam and Jesus. And that covers about 4,000 years of human history. So a Bible generation is about 70 years. So God said he's remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. In other words, it's forever. Infinity. It worked forever. Which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath with Isaac, and confirmed the same to Jacob for a law and Israel for an everlasting covenant. So we see it about 1,000 BC. He's talking about the seed of Abraham. And then about 870 BC, you can go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is when, you know, Judah and the Moabites and the Ammonites are attacking Judah. Jehoshaphat is the king. And so Jehoshaphat goes to the Lord in prayer. And in verse 6 and verse 7 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, he said, Lord God of our fathers, aren't you God in heaven? Don't you rule over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand there is power and might, so that none is able to withstand you. Aren't you our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and you gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend forever? In other words, he's quoting God's word. You know, there's power when you pray the word. Amen. And one powerful way you can pray is just pray the word. Amen. Just speak the word. There's power in the spoken word. There's power in God's word in your mouth. And the word that is spoken to you must be spoken through you. And so he's quoting God's word. He's quoting God back to himself, saying, God, this is what you said. And then we go to Isaiah. This is about 700 BC. Turn with me to Isaiah. He's still talking about it. Isaiah chapter 41. And we'll read in Isaiah 41, beginning in verse 8. We'll go through verse 12. Notice what he says. But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, who I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. You who I've taken from the ends of the earth and called from the chief men thereof, and said unto you, you are my servant, I have chosen you and not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and confounded, though they will be as nothing, and they that strive with you shall perish. You may have people coming against you, but God says those who strive with you, he said they're going to perish. They're going to be as nothing. You will seek them and not find them. Even them who contended with you, they who war against you will be as nothing and as a thing of naught. Really interesting, in July, you know, when the health department attacked us. Sunday before they attacked us, Joseph got up here and gave a word. I am the Lord, your deliverer. That's like the word before it happened. And then Friday, we could see it boiling. And so I called Pastor Al Pittman over on the west side, great pastor there, to get an attorney for a reference because the health department had attacked him prior to that. We gave him a check to cover his legal expenses for his church, gave him a personal offering too. Just blessed him. Amen. They just kept going. Praise God. But anyway, when I called him to get this reference, he quoted this scripture to me, and he said, all those who strive with you will be as nothing. Praise God. They will be confounded. They will be as nothing. He just quoted the word to me. Amen. Spoke the word over me. Then my daughter-in-law, Heather, came to church Sunday. So they attacked us Saturday night, and then they were here Saturday evening, put us all over the television, did a lot of free advertisement for us. And then Sunday morning, you know, attacked us because we had one person on staff who got the virus. Now who are they attacking? Who else did they attack for one person? You know, which, like I said, we got a lot of good advertisement. People know where we're at now. So then my daughter-in-law came Sunday morning, and the news meet had been here early. She walked in the back door, and she said, the Egyptians that you see today, you'll not see them forever. And you know what? We have not heard one peep from them since that. Glory to God. And guess what? 2021, this has been our greatest year. Amen.
Yeah.
In fact, let me let you in on something. We already broke the record.
Yeah.
Praise God. In 2021, we're going to break it again. It's going to be better than it's ever been before. It's already good today, and it's getting better and better and better.
Come on.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to keep moving forward. We're going to keep believing God no matter what happens, because we've got a covenant with God. We've got promises with God. So, I mean, I'm telling you, 2021, we're rolling. Amen? We're moving forward. We're going to start on New Year's Eve. Joseph C. is going to have special meetings right here. He's invited us to be here with him. It's going to be fun. New Year's Eve, and then we're going to have a prophetic conference in January. And then in February, on February 14th, Valentine's Day, Dr. Doug Weiss is going to be speaking, tell you how to get your marriage in order. Praise God. And then in March, we've got Greg Fritz coming. And then April, Ashley Terridis is going to have his conference here. May, we're skipping because of graduation. In June, we're going to have the first ever Caris Christian Center camp meeting. We're going to have special kids meetings, special youth meetings, we're going to have a Holy Ghost, special Holy Ghost meeting. We're going to have a Holy Ghost blowout. It's going to be the best thing that ever happened. I mean, we're moving into 2021, and it's another year. We're going to have a lot of nonsense out in the world because it's another year of reset. But things for those who are believing God. Let me prophesy to you. They're going to get better and better and better. I'm expecting good things to happen. Amen. Praise God. So I'm moving. Hallelujah. It's good. That's just a little free extra. But praise God. Thank God for the covenant that we have with God. So, you know, he gave the covenant, Genesis chapter 12, chapter 15, chapter 17, the promise, right, was given, then the promise was remembered all through the scripture. Go to Jeremiah chapter 33. I love Jeremiah 33. Jeremiah chapter 33 is talking about, I made a covenant with the house of David. I made a covenant with Judah and with Israel. I made a covenant with day and night. And then he kind of tops it off here at the end of Jeremiah 33, and he says this in verse 25. He says, thus saith the Lord, if my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then I will cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, and I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for I will cause their captivity to return. I'm going to cause them to walk in prosperity. I'm going to cause them to inhabit their territory, and I'm going to have mercy on them. Now look at what he says. He says, if my covenant be not with day and night. He says earlier in here, if you can break my covenant with day and night. Look out there. What do you see out that window? The sun is still shining.
Come on, Pastor.
You may not like what's happened politically. You may not like what's happening in other realms in this world, but I'm here to tell you, Jesus is still Lord. God is still on the throne. The Word of God is still true. The Holy Ghost is still here. Amen. And I don't know about you, but listen, I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward like never before. Because it's not about who's in the White House, it's who's on the throne. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And he's my Lord, and his word works. In fact, sometimes, just let me fill you in on, sometimes when it's really, really dark in the world, that just makes the light on you shine brighter and brighter and brighter. And I remember the last financial downturn that we went through here in America. It got really dark. But listen, all through that time, we started this church, and God blessed us, and God increased us, and God helped us every year, every year, every year. It got better and better and better and better. In fact, I remember about the worst of it was about 2010, 2011. My son Peter had just went to Princeton University at Thanksgiving. We went out to visit him, and I was in the gym in the morning at the hotel where we were, you know, on Thanksgiving. And I was working out, you know, early in the morning. They had the TV on. They were talking about all the major companies that went broke in the United States in the last 10 years. And I thought, wow. In the last 10 years, we started a church and we had almost no people and no money. And now we got a building that's nearly completely paid for. That was then, that was that building that we sold. And now we're in this building that's that is completely paid for. While the world's going down, the church is going up. Darkness and a thick darkness will cover the people, but it will not be on you, for the light of God will be on you, and the glory of God will be on you, and people will notice the difference of my church, because my church is moving forward in my glory. My church is moving forward in my power. The church is moving forward in my prosperity. You will rejoice in that I bring to you. So do not fear and do not be afraid. Don't worry about the things to come, but keep your eyes on me. Keep believing me. Keep believing my word. Keep believing my promises, because I'm bringing you in to the greatest thing that you've ever had. I will not be outdone. In the last days, saith God, I am pouring out of my spirit on all flesh. So whatever happens in the world, happens in the world, but it don't have to happen to me, because I'm not governed by the same thing. I'm part of the kingdom of heaven. God, I'm part of the kingdom of God. So he said, if you could break my covenant with day and night, but you can't break it. The sun's still shining. Then I would dishonor my covenant with David. Then I would dishonor my covenant with Abraham. But listen, you can't break my covenant of day and night, and I'm going to honor my covenant, God says, with David. I'm going to honor my covenant with Abraham. I'm going to honor my covenant with you. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. So this covenant's been remembered. Amen. The promise was given, and the promise remembered. Then the promise is revealed. Let's go to Matthew's gospel. Matthew chapter 1, and Matthew gives us the lineage of Jesus, and he starts with Abraham. In verse 1, he says, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. And he says there's 14 generations from Abraham to David. There's 14 generations from David to the carrying away of Babylon, and there's 14 generations from Babylon to Christ. There's 42 generations between Abraham and Jesus. And that's the lineage of Jesus through Joseph. But when you go into Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 3, go to Luke chapter 3, and you can see this. In Luke, he changes it a little bit at the end, and that's because Luke is talking about the humanity of Jesus. And so Luke gives us the genealogy of Jesus between chapter 3, verse 23 to verse 38. But he goes from Jesus and goes backwards to Adam. But he's actually given us the genealogy of Jesus through Mary. And there's 60 generations between Jesus and Adam. Amen? And so he said, Jesus is not only the son of, you know, he's the seed of Abraham both ways, right? He's not only the son of Joseph, who was supposed to be his father, but he's the son of Mary, who's the seed of Abraham. Amen? So Jesus is the promise revealed. Now Jesus is speaking in John chapter 8, and Jesus is sharing with a few of the seed of Abraham. As he's speaking, many Jews believed on him, and he said to those who believed on him in verse 31 and 32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answer back to him and they say, we're Abraham's seed and we were never in bondage to any man. How do you say you'll be made free? Now they're speaking naturally. Jesus does not disagree with them. Jesus says in verse 37, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. In other words, Jesus said, I'm not talking about the physical seed of Abraham. I'm talking about the spiritual seed of Abraham. And it's not because who your mama is and who your daddy is in the natural, it's who you are in the spirit. And really, he wants to talk to them about how they respond to the word. In verse 39, they said, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard of God. This did not Abraham. In other words, you're saying you're Abraham's seed, but you have no relationship with the word. And you're seeking to kill me because I'm telling you the word that God gave me. He goes on, and as he's speaking with him, he says this. He tells him, actually, in verse 44, you're of your father the devil, and the less of your father will you do. I can tell who you are by what you're doing. You may be talking a good talk, but you ain't walking a good walk. I mean, they're kind of going at it. And as they're speaking, verse 51, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he will never see death. Then the Jews said to him, verse 52, now we know that you have a devil. Abraham, Jesus tells them they're of their father, the devil. And they tell him, we know that you got a devil. Hallelujah. Hey, you know, some people just ain't gonna like you no matter what you do. Then said the Jews unto him, we know that you have a devil. Abraham's dead in the prophets, and you say, if a man keep my saying, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself to be? And then he goes down as he's speaking to them in verse 56. He says, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Remember Abraham? God tells him, I want you to go up to a mountain. I want you to offer up Isaac, your son. Isaac represented everything Abraham had believed God for years and years and years. So he goes a 3 days journey to Mount Moriah, where the Temple Mount is, there in Jerusalem. And he's at Mount Moriah, and he lays Isaac on the altar. You know, Isaac's somewhere between 14 to 22. Abraham's between 114 to 122. Who wins that battle? So Isaac believes so much in his father's relationship with God that he's willing to lay himself down on the altar. Abraham takes the knife. Let's say Mount Moriah's here. He's ready to kill his son to offer him. He believes that God is able to raise him from the dead. He's got the knife drawn, he's ready, and the angel of the Lord grabs him by the hand and said, Abraham, Abraham, God has provided himself an offering. And I believe what he did, he said, Moriah, I believe he looked over there about a quarter mile to the north of Moriah is Calvary. And I believe he looked over on Calvary, the hill of school, and he saw a ram caught in a thicket by his horn. He went over there to Calvary and he got that ram and he brought him in the place of his son. He laid him on the altar. He called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The Lord is my provider, the very first redemptive name of God in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 22. And I believe, you know, as he's there and he's ready to, you know, and he gets that ram and he offers him. He has a vision of Jesus. He says, He is Jehovah Jireh in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. He is the Lord my provider. He is the Lord our provider. He's not just talking about financial provision. He's talking about forgiveness for your sin. He's talking about healing for your body. He's talking about peace for your mind. He's talking about physical, financial prosperity and provision. Why? Because in Jesus is all provision. He is all provision. Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And the Jews said to him, this is John 8, verse 57. You are not 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. In other words, what's he saying? I am God. So Jesus said, it's not about your physical lineage. It's about your relationship, number one, with the Word. And because I honor the Word, you're seeking to kill me. Number two, it's about your relationship with God. And if you honor your relationship with the Word and honor your relationship with God, that's the proper response to the covenant. That's why I said, if you continue in my Word, you'll be my disciples. Indeed, you'll know the truth. You'll be made free. Amen. And freedom's not about who you are physically. Freedom's not about who your natural father is. Freedom is about who your heavenly father is. Freedom's about your relationship with God. Amen. So Jesus is the seed of Abraham. Jesus, amen, is the promise revealed. But then he explains the promise. If we go to Galatians chapter 3, he explains the promise. So we begin in verse 6 of Galatians 3. He says, even as Abraham believed God and it was imputed to him, accounted to him, reckoned to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that those who are of faith the same are the children of Abraham. For the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel to Abraham. Some of these people think you can't hear the gospel unless you're getting the New Testament. And yet God said, I preached the gospel to Abraham. You think God could preach the gospel? 2,000 years before Christ, when he said, in you all the families of the earth, all nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of the faith are blessed with believing Abraham. You know, there's only two kinds of believers. I'm stealing this from Ashley Terradays. Those that are blessed and know it, and those that are blessed and don't know it. Because if you're born again, all those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. If you're born again, you're blessed. So you need to notify your brain of what God says about you in the spirit. And if you notify your brain, you can start walking out what God says about you. And he talks about in verse 10 to verse 12 how if you're trying to get it by performance, you're really bringing yourself under a curse. But then he says in verse 13, Christ has purchased us, redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, in verse 14, might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So I'm redeemed from every curse, and I'm blessed with every blessing. And the ultimate aspect of the blessing is that I have the Spirit of Christ in me. And because I have the Spirit of Christ in me, I am blessed. I'm not trying to obtain the blessing. I am blessed. When I understand I am blessed, then I just begin to walk in the blessing. In other words, I'm not chasing the blessing. The blessing's coming on me and overtaking me. He goes on, verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. If it's confirmed, no man can take away from it or add to it. Now to Abraham, verse 16, and his seed were the promises made, and he saith not unto thy seeds of men as of many, but to thy seed who is Christ. In other words, Jesus is the seed of Abraham, and God made the promise to Jesus. So when you believe on Jesus and you come into Christ, you are the seed of Abraham in Christ, and you're blessed in Christ. So if you're born again, you're blessed. This I say, that the covenant was confirmed before of God in Christ. The law, which was 430 years later, cannot take away that it would make the promise ineffective. For if the inheritance was by the law, it was no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. What was the purpose of the law then? It was added because of sin till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. The promise was made to Jesus. So when you believe on Jesus, you come into Jesus, the promise is already yours. You're not trying to get the promise. The promise is already yours. You've already got it. Hallelujah. We jump on down. And he says this. So, verse 22, he says this, but the scripture has concluded under sin that the promise by the faith of Jesus might be given to them who believe. How many of you believe Jesus? If you believe Jesus, the promise is yours. If you believe Jesus, you're the seed of Abraham. If you believe Jesus, you're blessed. You're not trying to get the blessing, you're already blessed. In fact, you begin to understand this, and the blessing will come on you and overtake you. Now, he goes on in verse 26, notice what he says, for you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus. Why do you get all the stuff? You get all the stuff because you're God's kids. Everybody say, I'm God's kid. Amen? You're his child. You're born in his family. You don't get all the stuff because you're a good boy. You get all the stuff because you're God's kids. You're God's children. And if we go back to John chapter 8, in John chapter 8, Jesus is talking about the same thing. They said, we be Abraham's seed. He said, whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And you know the servant doesn't abide in the house forever, but the son abides forever. In other words, one day one of my boys got in trouble at school. And in my house, if you got in trouble at school, when you came home, you was in trouble. So I was at the office and I was working. He was there home. Mama called me at the office. I said, well, I'm busy, but I'll come home. I'll deal with it after I get there. And I'm actually so busy, I'm a little bit late when I get home. When I get home, my son's sitting at my table. He's eating a ribeye steak. Now, why would my son been a bad boy at school eating a ribeye steak at my table? Because he's still my son. He's still in my house. He's still my boy. Amen? And he ain't getting the steak because he's been a good boy. He getting eating the steak because he's my boy. Praise God. So you're God's kids. You get this stuff because you're God's kids. And what he's really saying in Galatians chapter 3, he said, how did you get saved in verse 2? Did you get saved because of what you did or who you believed? Did you get saved because you were a good boy? Good girl? Or did you get saved because you believed Jesus? Well, I tell you about Pastor Lawson. Pastor Lawson got saved because he believed Jesus. Because I can tell you, Pastor Lawson kind of challenged. And I'm looking at some of you, and I know you kind of challenged. I know without Jesus, you're just a sinner, baby, and you need a Savior. Amen? He asked in verse 5, well, how do you minister then? Do you minister because you did everything right? The works of the law are by the hearing of faith, because you minister because you believe Jesus. Same answer. So everything from your salvation to the end of your ministry, your Christian life, you receive because of Jesus. And he goes on, you get righteousness, you get justification, you get the blessing, you get the Holy Ghost, you get an inheritance. And really he's talking, when he's talking about this, he's really saying in verse 18, if you go back, if the inheritance of the law, it's no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. He's explaining the promise. So you receive an inheritance. Everybody say inheritance. Has anyone ever in here ever received an inheritance? Did you ever receive an inheritance? Did you receive the inheritance because you worked? Because you sweated? Because you toiled? Because you saved? Why did you receive inheritance then? Because you're in the family. All you did to receive your inheritance, you just showed up, believed it, and received it. So just believe it and receive it. You're God's kids. You're the children of God by faith in Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ to put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. It's not about race. It's not about religion. There's neither slave or free. It's not about being an employer or an employee. It's not about class. It's not about how much you have or how little you have. There's neither male nor female. It's not about gender. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs of the promise. If you be Christ's. So here's the question, are you Christ's? And if you're Christ, so what he's saying is, right, God made this promise to Abraham. The promise to Abraham was remembered over the years. It was revealed in Christ. But now he's explaining the promise is really about you. Whoever you are, Jew or Greek, slave or free, man or woman, do you believe Jesus? And if you believe Jesus, you're in the family. If you believe Jesus, you're God's children. If you're God's children, you're blessed. And it's not about what you did, it's about who you believed. But when you understand who you are, I'm God's child, changes how you live too. Right now, so it's an inheritance and it's received by grace. Not only that, it's a promise, and the promise is received by grace through faith. Go to Romans chapter 4. Let's look at it in Romans. He explains it in Romans 4, verse 13. For the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. What did Adam lose in the garden? What did Adam lose in the garden? He lost dominion. Dominion over what? The world. The promise that he would be heir of the world. Go preach the gospel to the world. Satan is the god of this world. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The promise that he lost dominion. It wasn't to Abraham or to his seed through the law. It wasn't because of their performance, but it was through the righteousness of faith. For if they who are of the law be heirs, Abraham's natural children, faith is made void and the promise is ineffective because the law works wrath. If they're trying to get it because they performed well, the law will bring you under judgment. You're trying to get something from God, you know, based on your performance is like trying to get somewhere running on a treadmill. Don't matter how hard you work, don't matter how much you sweat, don't matter how far you go, you're still at the same place when you're done. Because it's not about you. The law works wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. I've driven on the Autobahn in Germany and you cannot get a speeding ticket. Because there is no speed limit. So you can go as fast as you want to. You got some people driving 60, driving semi-trucks. You got the average population driving 70 to 80 regular cars. Then you got these Mercedes and BMWs, sports cars. They driving 120 plus. They flash their lights at you when they're about a half mile down the road. That means get out of the way, baby, or there is gonna be one ugly wreck. Because they are screaming. Now, when they say something about slowing down, people slow down because they say, listen, if I don't slow down, my life's in jeopardy here. Right? But you can't get a speeding ticket because where no law is, there's no transgression. So you can drive as fast as you want to drive. He says, therefore, he's still talking about the promise. The promises of faith that it might be by grace. The promise, you receive it by grace through faith. In other words, God provided it in Jesus. He is the grace of God, and you just believe Jesus. You get it because of the righteousness of Jesus. That the promise might be sure and secure to all the seed. Not only to those who are of the law. If anybody got it in the old covenant, they didn't get it because they performed well. Abraham didn't get this stuff because he performed well. Why does God call Abraham the father of our faith? Why does he use him as an example of faith? Listen, Abraham was like a super chicken. Who goes and calls his wife his sister when he's 90 years old? And then does it again. God said, listen, if Abraham can get this faith deal right, you can get it right. He uses David as an example of grace. Why? Because he really needed grace. I mean, David's in the Faith Hall of Fame. David's in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm thinking, Jesus, why David? Why is he in the Faith Hall of Fame? After the mess he made? Committed adultery, had a woman's husband killed to cover it up. I mean, and he's in the faith hall. God, don't you have anybody better than that to put in there? Why is he, what's David's greatest act of faith, God? Overcoming his own personal failure to walk in a relationship with God. I don't care how bad you failed, how much you failed. Keep your eyes on Jesus. God got over your sin at the cross. God let go of it. You let go of it. Move forward. Walk with God. The promises of faith that it might be grace, that it might be sure to all the seed. Not only those of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So in Galatians, he says, listen, you get this promise by an inheritance. It's not about what you did. It's about who you believed. And when you believed him, you came into his family. And it changed who you are. The reason the way you live changes because you understand who you are. Amen? But you get it because of who he is. And in Romans, he says it's by faith in his grace. So he explains it. Now, in Hebrews, he tells us how this promise is established. We're going to read just five more verses. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. He says this, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, we physical body, Jesus himself took part of the same that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The reason Jesus had to come in a physical body as a man is because if he didn't come as a man, he couldn't die. And he had to die, right, in order to defeat the devil. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, who is the devil, and deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Verse 16, key verse, Hebrews 2:16. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. He's merciful because he was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He's faithful because he never sinned. That he might make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself suffered being tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. Jesus can help you. You say, nobody ever had it like me. Jesus did. Nobody understands. Jesus understands. Jesus can help you. Right? But go back to verse 16. He took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on the seed of Abraham. What does this mean? The seed of Abraham. We said when Jesus is the seed of woman, it means he's the son of God. But when it says that Jesus is the seed of Abraham, what's that mean? Well, first of all, it means the covenant was made with a man. Secondly, it means the covenant was established through a man. Amen? So the covenant was made with Adam, the first man. It was established through Jesus, the second Adam. And the covenant is received by faith in Jesus. So when you put your faith in Jesus, you come into the Abrahamic covenant. And you receive the blessings, not because of who you are, but because of who Jesus is. So the gospel is really this: the Son of God became the Son of Man so that we, the sons of men, can become the sons of God. Amen? Jesus is the seed of woman. He's the Son of God. Jesus is the seed of Abraham. He's the Son of Man. Because God made a covenant with a man. Right? Man gave up his authority, so God had to get authority back through a man. God established the covenant with a man, Jesus. I establish my covenant between me and you. The covenant that I make between me and you. The covenant I make between me and all flesh on the earth. Because when he says, I establish my covenant, he's really talking about Jesus. And Jesus came and did for us what we could never do. So he made that covenant with Jesus. When you believe on Jesus, you enter in the covenant. And you're heirs of the covenant through faith. So we can say this: I'm the seed of Abraham. And his blessing rests on me. I'm the seed of Abraham. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm the seed of Abraham. And his seed remains in me. I'm the seed of Abraham. And Jesus is the guarantee. So these promises are guaranteed to you because of Christ's work.
Thanks for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast with Pastor Lawson Perdue. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.